Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Bear Bets is back, week five of the NFL season. I am Chris the Bear Felica, soon to be joined by Sammy P and Will Hill in the gambling group chat. And I will bring in my co-host Jeff Schwartz at this time. And Jeff, I think we saw another example Sunday night of the massive rigging and fixing of games in the NFL.
How
Patrick Mahomes knew the point spread. And he knew that if he scored, he would have covered. And he knew the books needed the Chiefs. Yeah. And it was he was in on the big fix, right?
Yeah. So I've been injured in my NFL career, and when I'm injured, I put on the little quarterback headpiece. I could hear like the quarterback mm-hmm. coach or whoever and radio in the play quarterback. And I heard all the time like, hey man, Eli, just let you know the point spread is this. Make sure you do this on a certain play. It's just the lamest way to talk about sports. It's to complain about players, referees, coaches knowing the point spread. And there are times when it does seem like, the Sean McVay field goal a few weeks ago to only lose by seven.
I have no idea what he was doing.
There are times where it does look like it might be the case, but it just feels like the lamest way to watch sports, right? I know we have money on these games. I know that there are times we lose. I lost a USC over last weekend by half a point. Like, I was furious about it, but I didn't accuse USC or their kicker of missing kicks on purpose to not cash the bets. I just feel like the lamest way to watch sports is to think about all the ways they're trying to screw you out of your wager. The Chiefs were not inside the number for like over 30 minutes. Right. They were 17-0, and then when it got to 17-10, 17-14, they're out of the number. Like, right. That's it. It was 17-12. It was like a weird score. Yeah. It was like a baseball score for a little bit of time. It was a weird score. They were out of the number. And then the other thing that I didn't just frustrates me a lot when people watch sports, and I get like referees are part of sports, right? We see it happen all the time, is this idea that, a league favors someone else and they're rigging games based on this. It feels like the lowest common way to watch a game, man. And like, I'm a fan first, and I obviously play in the NFL, but even when I was a fan as a kid or even a fan now, I've never thought like any of those things before, like the penalty hawks, people looking for penalties. It just feels a weird way to watch a game, man. I don't get it. Why are we doing this, guys?
I think again, people just don't like the Occam's razor theory of like, it's the most common explanation. Oh, by the way, all Patrick Mahomes needed to do was to slide, get the first down, not score, so he could just take a knee and end the game. I was the only 100% chance that the Chiefs win the game is if he gets the first down, he doesn't score, they keep the ball, knee, ball game. He scores, Jets get the ball back, and yeah, maybe it's a astronomically slim possibility, but the possibility, zero is zero, whereas whatever that is not zero is not zero.
Correct. So. And so he made the right choice. Look, the officiating, I get it. I think Sauce admitted he sort of held him, but like didn't think it was bad enough to actually be called.
Oh, he held him.
And so the question is, again, like I see the argument of, well, the refs shouldn't call penalties in those situations because of the end of games. I used to sort of feel that way, but then I think about the entire game. Like, what is that? What's the difference between that and what happens in the second quarter? If it's a penalty in the second quarter, it's a penalty in the fourth quarter. And that was directly in front of the referee, and the ball was thrown that direction. If the ball was thrown the other side, probably doesn't get called, right? You're not supposed to call penalties that really affect plays. And he held them. Like, he held them, shouldn't have done it, got a penalty, move it along. And so it's just social media makes it worse, right? Because we can complain about stuff. We, and the referees, guys, they watch the plays in full speed one whole time. They don't get slow-mo replays. They don't get zoomed in. They don't get the benefit of watching it multiple, three, four, five times, Bear. And so, I don't know. I just despise the way we talk about these games when it comes to officiating and gambling sometimes on social media.
Sometimes?
I'm like, this is my old man rant.
Get off my lawn.
It frustrates me. But the Chiefs, look, they're terrible in those situations. On the road is big favorites. If you go back on the road this weekend, it's just, you know, not a big favorite.
Numbers come down, too. Vikings getting some money.
Yeah, I'm not surprised there. The Chiefs' offense is fascinating so far. I think it's a storyline we haven't talked very much about because we just expect them to be fine. Their defense has been outstanding. Their defense is good enough to win a Super Bowl. Like, their defense is fine. Offensively, they gotta find some sort of intermediate option. But I trust Mahomes. People on the Vikings, huh? That's a lot. It's interesting. Would you be in the Vikings?
Hell no.
Yeah.
The list of teams that I don't think I could ever bring myself to play: Vikings, Chargers.
Oh, jeez. How about the Chargers this weekend? Again, the same chargering as usual. Like, you go for it on fourth down because you're smarter than everyone else. You get stuffed again on fourth down with a quarterback who has a broken finger, who can't hold the football. You're playing a rookie quarterback with, I think they had less than two timeouts, maybe one or two timeouts, who'd have to drive the length of the field to score a touchdown on the road in his first professional start. And you go for it and get stuffed. And then
when you really hadn't been running the ball all game.
Correct. And then you have an interception. You're up seven again. And it's outside of 2 minutes. And you don't tell him to score a touchdown. Like, Staley's like, get down. Like, no. Score a touchdown. Like, you score, you're up 14 points, you win. It's but you and Aiden O'Connell to the end zone. That's it. They're just a poorly coached team, man. It's so frustrating. They're wasting a generational talented quarterback because Brandon Staley is still their head coach. Frustrates me a lot. Do you have any gripes? I've been screaming about football. Do you have any gripes off your chest?
No, I'm relatively calm this week.
I sound like an angry person today.
No, I like, usually I'm the angry person, so I feel I'm happy you're the animated one today.
Yeah, I've been holding this stuff in. I try not to go off on social media very often. I use this platform to get angry, so now we're angry.
I used the platform to get angry last week.
It worked. But you got your money back, so that's good.
I'm happy.
Let's get to your wagers now. We'll have some fun here. You have three wagers before we get to gambling group chat, and then our best bets at the end of the show. Titans at the Colts. Colts are getting 2.5. The number has moved in their direction. The total is 43. Both teams are 2-2. The Colts losing to the Rams on Sunday in overtime. The Titans blew up the Bengals. The Titans have lost both their road games this year, but are 3-1 against the spread. The Colts have won both the road games, lost twice at home, and they are 2-2 against the spread. Bear, where are you going here?
Doesn't this feel like one of those typical, like, because it's the NFL type of games? Titans played so well last week, shutting down the Bengals offense. The Colts fell behind, came back, tied the game, ultimately lost in overtime. Doesn't this feel like now Tennessee's laying points on the road? I don't know if they should be. I will happily take the Colts plus the 2.5. So I do think maybe there's a chance Jonathan Taylor is back for the Colts. So that in theory could help them. Like you said, I think the Titans going on the road here, I think that's a dangerous spot. And for a team that certainly still has its offensive deficiency. So give me the Colts plus the points here. And I'll probably throw a little on the money line as well.
Correct me if I'm wrong here. The Titans have not scored a touchdown on the road this season, right?
They had, what, five field goals?
Five field goals in week one, and they lost 27-3 in Cleveland, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so
they've looked awful.
Zero touchdowns on the road this season. When they're a home dog, I will throw as much money as I can on Mike Vrabel. Yep. It's a great wager. I was with you last weekend hosting the Bengals, but when they're a road favorite, absolutely not. Like, no chance right here. Overreaction from the Colts losing in overtime last weekend. They looked bad in the first half, better in the second half. Richardson's going to have those moments where he's up and down, but the Titans offense is atrocious. All right, let's get to your second wager here. We're going overseas, going to London here. Jacksonville is getting 5.5 points, or plus 5.5. It's at Buffalo, but it's in London. Total 48.5. Jacksonville's 2-2. They've covered in both their wins, including last weekend against Atlanta. That game was also in London. And Buffalo is 3-1, having scored 38, 37, and 48 points in the last three games. Where are you going, Bear?
Well, the Bills won what basically was their Super Bowl last week. It was clear that they took that game personally. A lot of the narrative going into that game personally. It was great to see DeMar Hamlin back on the field as well. But this number looks a little short right here at 5.5. Again, because it's the NFL. Bills have looked great the last 3 weeks, unstoppable on offense. Jags haven't necessarily looked like the team that we thought that they would be for much of the year, still having trouble scoring points. That was more of like what we thought with bad Atlanta last week. We got through a survivor with Jacksonville last week, which was great. But maybe I got to take 5.5 now because we're recording this show now. I think there's a chance this number might hit 6. So I'm going to wait and maybe put a little bit more on Jacksonville come Sunday. But I do like the spot for the Jaguars here, being that they've been over there. Buffalo off the emotional win, got to go all the way across. So it's a weird travel and prep week for them. So give me Jacksonville plus the points, and I'm hoping to get 6 by kickoff.
It does feel like a little bit of a Josh Allen YOLO game. Like, we haven't had those in a couple weeks. We haven't had them in a while. Josh Allen's been really good. The offense has been played so well. They're scoring so many points now. The one concern I have about Jacksonville is they're not scoring points on offense. You know, last weekend it was 17 points on offense or 16 points on offense
because they had
the pick six, the 9 against the Chiefs, 17, I think, against the Texans. And let's say Buffalo scores 28-31. Are they going to score enough points, Jacksonville? But the spot, I think, is correct here on this play. Everyone's going to be on Buffalo this weekend, not on Jacksonville. Let's get to your other game. This one's fun, man, because I feel like this is a contrarian pick that makes a lot of sense here. Bengals on the road at Arizona. Bengals are favored by 3.
There's actually a 2.5 that just popped right now as well.
2.5. The live wagering, 2.5 right
now.
They're
2.5 that have popped.
Total's 44.5. Both teams are 1-3, but they've gotten to here in different ways, right? The Bengals are supposed to be good. Started the season poorly. Joe Burrow's calf injury is hurting them. Arizona was supposed to stink. He's supposed to tank. They've been competitive in all 4 games, even in a loss to Niners last weekend. Where are you going here?
I mean, I'm taking the discount on the Bengals. Yeah. I mean, even as bad as they have looked offensively, as immobile as Joe Burrow has looked with that calf injury, this number has been one-way action, straight plummet. Everyone is on the Cardinals. This game, the sign opened up at 6. And look, I get why you bet the Cardinals at 6, but I don't understand why you're betting the Cardinals at 3.
Like, yeah.
You missed the boat. I just refuse to believe that. I don't want to say I refuse to believe, but I think it's a little bit of a combination of an overreaction to how good the Cardinals might be because they've been competitive. And there's definitely a reaction to, look, I didn't think the Bengals would be great entering this year. And they have basically performed how I thought they would. Mainly the Burrow injury has been what it was. But like, I think maybe some of the Cardinals success has just kind of been circumstantial. I do have my concerns about the Bengals offensively, but I do think maybe the locker room outburst from Jamar Chase last week was a good thing.
Yeah.
Maybe got some of the grievances out in the open, and maybe they'll be.
Well, is he open or not? Is he open? Is Jamar Chase open or not?
It's always open.
It's always open. Yeah. It's always
open. I'm open every play.
Yeah, open every play. I think it's a great spot to buy in the Bengals. It's back against the wall against a team that has won now for many years. They go 1-4. I mean, 1-3, you're like, excuse me, right. 1-4, like, especially when they have this 2-game stretch where they need to win both these games before their bye. And then after the bye, it's the Niners and the Bills and the Ravens and the Chiefs. Like, it's all the tough teams after the bye. Back against the wall. The thing about Joe Burrow's calf is it limits his mobility, right? And teams that are able to hit him, to rush the passer, are able to affect him. I don't think Arizona's that team, right? And the Bengals defense has played fine. They've been a little bit, they've reverted back to mean a little bit. This is 2.5. Are you kidding me? Yeah. 2.5. I mean, what was the look ahead on this game, you think, in July?
Eight, nine.
Eight, nine. So good spot for the Bengals right here. Let's recap the wagers the Bear has made so far in this show. These are real wagers that he does make. I watch him do it. He wagers like live during the show on random overseas soccer and stuff. Colts, plus 2.5 at home against the Titans. You have the Jaguars, plus 5.5 in London against the Buffalo Bills. And you have the Bengals now 2.5. On the road, it's 2.5, Bear. That's crazy. 2.5. That number feels way too low. Well, let's get to our gambling group chat now. It's going to be me. It'll be the Bear. It's Sammy. It's Will Hill. We talk everything NFL. We cover all the games of the week, our favorite wagers, and our favorite futures now, who we're fading, where we got things right and wrong. A great gambling group chat as usual. Here that is.
Will Hill, Sammy P, Jeff, and myself. Time for the gambling group chat, NFL style. Before we start talking specifically about this week, I was curious, like we all have our preseason thoughts, expectations, power ratings, wagers, whatever you want to call it. Like now we kind of actually have some data out there. And I guess the Cardinals are what spurred this on for me, just because we all thought the Cardinals were going to be this tanking team, may not win a game, worst team in the league, number one draft pick. Maybe they pick first and second. And it's clear that they actually are a functional, a competitive football team after 4 weeks. So 4 weeks in, Will, is there a team? What team out there, if there is a team, you've kind of made the biggest adjustment for, either in your power ratings or just your opinion of, for better or for worse so far this year?
I mean, it has to be Arizona. A lot of the metrics have them in the middle of the pack, but you mentioned Arizona, so I'll go a different way. And this is one, look, we get things right, we get things wrong. We've all kind of been anti-Cincinnati. And I mean, look, part of it is their numbers last year, the quarterbacks they beat, maybe a little misleading. Maybe they were a little overrated, but the quarterback is just not healthy. He can't move. He can't run. He's a sitting duck in the pocket. And they're damned if they do, damned if they don't, because this is a rest from whatever, you know, all the doctors say. It's not going to get better unless he sits out for 2 or 3 weeks. But, you know, at 1-3, if you sit out for 2 or 3 weeks, you come back, your season's over. But if you play through it, you're not effective and your season's going to be over. So to me, since he's just a shell of themselves, they've been really bad here. So to me, it's the Bengals. We thought this was, you know, I think a lot of people probably had, you mentioned power rankings, Chiefs, Bills, Bengals, Eagles. Those are the four teams, maybe Cowboys right behind it. Bengals to me are a bottom third team in the league as currently, you know, constructed with Burrow's injury. So it's got to be the Bengals, you know, as well as the Cardinals.
Sammy, you? Same question.
I've upped the Ravens the most. I was high on them to begin with, but I've got them basically equal with the Eagles right now. I got Bills, Niners, ooh, Chiefs, wow, Cowboys, and then Ravens, Eagles on the five line together. I'm very high on the defense, and Lamar has been playing really good, even without J.K. Dobbins. They've just basically been able to plug and play many different guys, including the rookie receiver out of Boston College. So I like what Baltimore's done. And then conversely, on the bottom, like, I've knocked New England down a whole lot. Matthew Judon is going to miss multiple months. Christian Gonzalez, who was right there for Defensive Rookie of the Year, he's out for the season. The Belichick defenses are basically bend but don't break. And without two of their most impactful players on defense, the dam might flood. Now, I've got them like 26th. I think coming into the year, I had him like 18th or 19th. Kenny White in Vegas has him tied for 29th with the Giants. So he's even lower, wow, on the Pats than I am. Clearly, their offense sucks. It was funny around here in Boston. It was like, well, they only had an offensive coordinator. Well, actually, they need a quarterback, not an offensive coordinator.
It's when I actually played New England under 7.5 earlier this week. But you, circling back quickly to your Ravens deal, is part of your – or maybe it's the part of the adjustment, like the fact that they haven't had a healthy team and they're still doing this, kind of does it kind of mean that there's still a good bit of ceiling for them to even get a higher number? No?
I still think they can win 11 or 12 games. I mean, we've adjusted, obviously, the win totals and the division prices. We had our podcast before the season, and I think that was the one team that I was talking about, Baltimore, over the win total at 10.5, and to win the division. At the time, they were like 2-1, 220 behind Cincy. But yeah, I mean, they're very good on both lines. We know they have maybe the best special teams weapon in the game in Justin Tucker at kicker. They never leave points off the board. Harbaugh consistently churns out winners. This team just does everything right. They never really beat themselves, and they also punish poor teams. Like the Browns roll in last week without Deshaun Watson. It was never even a game. Like, then again, they did lose to Indianapolis the week before to Gardner Minshew. So maybe they do have the occasional letdown, but this is still a very highly power-rated team.
I think I've been wrong most on two offenses this year. Sammy mentioned the Patriots. I did think that with a better offensive coordinator, we saw Mac Jones in year one, wasn't bad. He wasn't great, but he also wasn't bad. And last season, he had two defensive coordinators that were calling plays. And now this year, he has a real offensive coach in Bill O'Brien, who has had success everywhere he's been. It's very clear Mac Jones is not that guy. It's very clear. Like, they got to find I saw a quarterback mock to them already in mock drafts for next year. And the other teams, the Steelers, like, we saw glimpses last year of Kenny Pickett being able to do some really good things in their offense. And they have been horrific on offense. I know he might not play this weekend, but they have just, their offensive line has not been good. The play calling is atrocious, which you sort of already knew with Matt Canada. But again, there were moments last season where Pickett overcame that. George Pickett is a fantastic wide receiver. They can't get him the ball enough. Like, to me, I was wrong about Pittsburgh's offense. Their defense is still really good. Maybe Tomlin ekes out 9 wins and they keep that over 500 streak going for so many years now. But I'm dead wrong on Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it certainly looks like offensively they've got a lot of things to fix. A team that doesn't appear to have a lot of things to fix on offense are the San Francisco 49ers. Like, there are a few things that get me as excited and animated and bring me as much pleasure as watching the 49ers play football. I just love their offense, and they are just a great team to watch, and I'm not going to enter this game with a single cent wagered on it. I'm already maxed to the gills with 49ers futures. Maybe I'll hop in live, but I can't wait for Sunday night for Dallas, San Francisco. It's going to be a great game. Dallas has played them tough in the playoffs the last couple of years before the Niners ultimately won. But both of those games, I see mostly 3.5 out there now. Dallas obviously had a point to prove, I think, last week against the Patriots, completely blowing New England out. Jeff, you interested in getting involved here?
Well, I think the Niners win this game because I think they have some advantages, especially with their defense against the Cowboys' red zone offense, which has been atrocious. The red zone offense looks like they don't know what they're doing.
The knee-jerk reaction that people are saying is, "Oh, they need Ezekiel Elliott back."
Only one person saying that, and he's wrong about that. okay, it's an asinine take because you can just. I even put out a video showing like all the red zone runs. I'm like
spoon.
Spoon video. Spoon it, but I put out like I had time. I rarely have time to do this. I put out like the 20 red zone runs. I was, can you show me where Ezekiel Elliott would have been better? The problem is they get to the red zone and their play calling just does not match what they're trying to do. It's all over the place. They're throwing the ball too much. Part of it is when their offensive line comes fully back healthy, the red zone should be better because as the field narrows down, as you get closer to the end zone, right, there's less yards and less yards. Your offensive line really has to punch a hole in the defense because safeties are lower. You got to really drive guys off the ball to find lanes. In the passing game, you have to be more precise and on time because, again, everything's closer, right? There's less zones in the, you know, there's less open area. So Dak's got to be a little more crisp in the red zone. He's not doing that so far this season. So the Niners defense in that specific spot. And look, Purdy's played better than I thought he would. If the Niners stay on schedule, I think they scored over 30 points now, 7 straight regular season games. If he's on schedule, man, the Cowboys defense thrives in rushing the passer, right? They rush the passer very well. And if they can't do that in this game because the Niners run the ball for a second down, screen pass, play action pass, it kind of mitigates the Cowboys' ability on defense to rush the passer. So I'm not sure laying 3.5, but I like the Niners. The last thing on the Niners, by the way, McCaffrey is right now on pace for 340 carries this season. 340 carries. Shanahan said he was going to try to get him some rest this year, and he refuses. Like, I can't put money on a McCaffrey to win any postseason award with 340 carries a pace right now.
I like San Fran. I like Dallas. I think there's a lot of points. The summer line was San Fran, Dallas, pick them, and now we're out to 3.5, some fours. I mean, what's really changed? San Fran's looked really good. I agree with everything you said about them. I mean, they're beautiful to watch with the motion, all the skill guys. But, I mean, who have they really played? They played the Rams, they played the Cardinals, the Giants, and the Steelers. I just think back to that playoff game last year. Dallas, really, for large chunks of that game, I think was the better team. Dak had a couple of bad interceptions. Dallas dropped interception. Pollard got hurt. I remember they had the weird situation with the kicker where Maher just completely, you know, couldn't make anything and lost his confidence. I could just see a 27-24 type of game. That 3.5 is the key number in the NFL. More games land on 3 than anything else. I'll take the 3.5 with Dallas. And I think if you're going to beat San Fran, if you're going to bother them, you have to pressure them. You have to disrupt them. I think Dallas has the pass rush to do that. So I look for a close game. This is a hell of a game. This is a little 90s throwback when these teams would play every year in the playoffs. The uniform, Sunday night, this is going to be a lot of fun. And I like the points here.
Sammy, anything on Sunday night?
Yeah, I'm not going to bet the game, but what I will do, Bear, is I'll just take another piece out of the tree and bet more on the Niners to win the Super Bowl. I mean, you could find them at 6.25 if you get creative. Some books at 6-1, some at 550. Let's just say that the Niners actually come out and wax Dallas. You know, that number one seed is a lot more attainable, and if they have home field, they're going to be basically French doors to the NFC Championship, where they'll probably play either Philadelphia or Dallas, and they'll be favored. So I really like their big picture mentality. I think they're good enough on offense and defense. They are healthy, knock on wood, to date. I mean, they've been dealing with a lot of injuries over the last 5 years, but I'm more inclined to take more San Francisco Super Bowl at like 6-1, give or take. I really think they're the cream of the crop in the NFC. And I'm surprised because Will looks like he's coaching receivers for the Niners, and he's going to take the Cowboys. It doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if it was a Niners like warm-up jacket there, if there was like an Oriole. I can't tell on the shot because he's conflicted between between baseball and NFL right now. Second week of the year, we have a game in London now. I was going to say Jacksonville, but London and Jacksonville, they really kind of are the same thing anyway. The Bills kind of look like the team most people thought that they would look like last week, and kind of had their Super Bowl for early season per se against Miami. Blew them out. I took the Jaguars plus the 5.5 this week. I think obviously in an underdog type situation now, the Jaguars getting points in a spot where nobody really expects them to compete or win. That's probably a situation where they're going to play their best football. Buffalo, the emotion of last week, travel, kind of an off week. I took a flyer with the Jags here. Will, any thoughts on Jacksonville, Buffalo? Am I an idiot for betting the Jags plus the points?
I don't think you are. Look, I love these Sunday morning games. I'm happy we don't have to watch Desmond Ridder on Sunday and ruin everybody's breakfast.
Look, Jacksonville. I want a mandate. No. By the way, sorry to interrupt. I want a mandate. No more New York Giants primetime games.
You have two more.
No more Desmond Ridder Atlanta Falcons standalone games either. Okay, we'll continue.
Jacksonville stayed there, you know, this past week. They've been there 2 weeks in a row, so they're acclimated, they're adjusted. It's, you know, look, you can do pretty well in the NFL if you try to erase what you saw last week. And with the Buffalo, it's buy low, sell high. And, you know, that was a really good buy low spot against Miami. Now maybe you sell them high against Jacksonville. Again, this line was 3.5 over the summer. The 5.5 is that dead zone. Not a lot of games land on 4, especially 5, but it would be Jags or nothing for me. Nothing's, you know, strong in terms of conviction though.
I wonder if we get a 6. That's certainly possible here. I imagine when we get to Saturday and Sunday, more people are going to probably take Buffalo. Nobody wanted to bet Buffalo last week. Everybody wanted Miami. Now everybody is jumping on the Buffalo train the very next week, which is sort of life in the NFL when you get on the wrong side of the zigzag here. And didn't we all discuss, hey, like Josh Allen's 9-1 to win the MVP, yep, and the Bills?
Not anymore.
Cold. Yeah, I mean, he had 5 touchdowns. So, all that said, I think Jags plus 215 money line is not a bad bet. Will brought it up. They've been there. They've basically been in England for 2 weeks now. They've become accustomed to the routines there. Buffalo flying high. I mean, this is a perfect time to clip a team that nobody wanted to bet last week, but everybody will bet this week. And of course, if you're getting 5.5, 6, you're down 10 late. The back door is wide open for Jacksonville. So I'm only looking one way in this one.
The one concern I have with Jacksonville is they're just not scoring points on offense. Like they're just not, they have not been able to put the ball in the end zone as much as they would like. We know they had 7 points last weekend on a pick six. They had 9 points against Kansas City. They had, I think, only 20 in the early, low 20s, maybe 17 against Houston. Like, can they score enough points if Buffalo is able to put this in the high 20s, low 30s? Are they going to score 27, 26, 25. They haven't shown the ability to do that this season. That's my only concern with the Jaguars heading into this game.
And another one of those zigzag games that that I landed on when I'm zigging when everyone else is zagging is I took the Colts. Is actually, they're 2.5s out there now against the Titans. Again, I was on Tennessee last week. Nobody wanted Tennessee last week. Terrible looking team, and they completely annihilated the Bengals. I actually had the Colts last week, which is a loser as well. They fell behind 23-0 to the Rams before making an unbelievable comeback. And I can't believe the Rams wound up pulling that game out in overtime. But I took the Colts here plus the 2.5. Again, Titans still offense, I think, can struggle at times. I think that game last week was more of an indictment on the Bengals, as Will was talking about before. So I took the Colts here, getting the points. So what do you think, Jeff? Good pick, bad pick, indifferent?
I have no feel for this game. The Colts each week to me, I don't know what to expect from them. With a young quarterback, they still, I think, have some ups and downs. We saw last weekend, right? A lot of down, then a lot of up, then a little bit more down. But I think Tennessee, to your point, they've obviously lost the two road games. They covered the first one. They just have been a different team on the road. At home, they feel more comfortable. They're making more plays on offense. I just never trust Tennessee's offense at all times. Like their offense to me, so I'm just kind of a stay away for me with both these offenses that I don't kind of trust throughout 60 minutes.
At 2.5, it's a nice teaser piece. So at 2.5, I just feel like that's a dead number where, you know, if I can't get the 3, might as well just use it in a teaser leg. And this game should be close, should be low scoring. Somebody should win by, you know, a field goal, one score. So to me, Colts as a teaser leg is certainly a good play.
See, it's interesting. Well, Adam Chernoff,
who bet the NFL
pretty well, 43 is a low total, obviously. But Chernoff, who I talk to every week, he loves the over in the game. And he made a case for Derrick Henry running wild on the Colts D-line. And then, you know, say the Colts get Jonathan Taylor back, you pair him with, you know, the weapon that Anthony Richardson has become. And let's also talk about Richardson. He has scored a touchdown in 3 straight games as a starter, the one game he didn't start, but he has scored at plus 190, plus 150, and plus 105. That's probably going to be minus money really soon because the books always catch up, but they have been very good. And Bear, I think you talked about Shane Steichen for Coach of the Year a couple of weeks ago. I don't think that's still a bad bet right now with everybody's fawning over McDaniel and Dan Campbell, but this guy puts points on the board. And we saw it last week against the Rams. You know, I think this total is low, obviously, but there's no margin for error. Like 20-20 is likely going to be a push. You're going to get a field goal at some point in overtime, I would think. I think 43 is too low.
I kind of in watching far too much of the Rams Colts game last week, I would agree with you because the Colts can have the ball moved on them for sure. Will, I was thinking what you were talking about with Atlanta, and when you mentioned that teaser leg, and it was something that we were having a conversation with earlier in the week about like adjusted season win totals, and you hit me up immediately like Atlanta's season win total 9.5, and I was like, how are they winning 10 games? And then I looked and I'm like, look at the schedule, like it's an abomination of a schedule. Like, how much should the schedule really weigh in compared to what we're seeing with this team and this quarterback? Because while the schedule's terrible, you know they're not going to win all those games. And if you go 500 the rest of the way, I mean, you're not going to win 10. So, it's a battle between, like, what you see on the schedule and you're convincing yourself, wow, these games are really winnable for them, as opposed to watching Desmond Ridder play quarterback.
Yeah, so Falcons under 9.5. I saw it and I texted you. I was like, this is the greatest bet ever. How are you going to win 10 games with Desmond Ridder? Once you look at the schedule, it's an okay bet. I think it's a good bet. I'd rather be on the under than the over, but you mentioned it. It's a lot of Tampa, a lot of the Saints. Tampa's played okay, but it's a lot of winnable games. So still enough for me to bet, but I do agree there's definitely some value in these season win totals. Look, the books have a lot to do. Like, you've got baseball at the price, pitcher props, college football props, NFL. So sometimes they can just, you know, it's a little mechanical with season win totals. They adjust it based on what happened, and I think there's some room to bet. I feel like, and again, it's juiced under 5.5 for the Giants. They are what, 1-3? Then they're at Miami, they're at Buffalo, they still play Philly twice, they still play at Dallas. Jones is getting hit every time he goes back to pass. Who knows if he can make it through the year? And look, if it's Tyrod Taylor, that's not going to go well. I mean, look at that Giants schedule, tell me how they get to 6 wins.
I can't see it at all for them. And I think another one it landed on as well, and Jeff was just kind of joking about it. We all know Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season as head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, but they're going to get to 9 wins in that division with that offense and Matt Canada and everybody there hating him. I don't know. Good luck with that. Sammy, is there an adjusted season win total that might have caught your eye?
Yeah, let me match Atlanta 9.5 with Tampa Bay 9.5. I mean, are Baker Mayfield and the Bucs going to win 10? I can go under at minus 130, 125 if I shop around. Probably I see 130 at DraftKings right now. You watch the features and you see the interviews, and Jason Licht is like, oh, Baker Mayfield took the lineman the Caribbean and they're fishing. I'm like, I don't give a damn. Like that doesn't matter to me.
Didn't the Giants go like fishing or something before that?
The Packers game, yes.
Yeah, it worked out well.
Let's also remember the Bucs have beaten the Vikings and the Bears, for crying out loud. Two teams that are just awful right now. I know the division stinks. The Saints still play good D. I still like the Falcons D in the running game. I know Ritter stinks, but are we all there that Tampa's going to win 10 games? Am I missing something?
Well, in that division, who's winning 9 games? Like who's the team that's going to, or is that division going to be won at 8-9?
I think it could be won at 8-9.
Because someone, let's assume someone has 9 wins, obviously.
I hope so, because I have Tampa under 8.5.
Maybe someone gets to 10, luckily, I guess, is the only counter to this, right? I wouldn't put many on anyone to go over, but 9-8, I guess, is the division winner, right? We assume the NFC South probably in 9-8.
Yeah, weren't the Bucs the biggest long shot to win the division? They were like 7-1 to win the division, and now we're saying they're going to win 10 games.
I'm not arguing over. I'm just being a counterpoint to this. It's like someone's got to win the division at probably 9 wins. Maybe someone gets to 10. I'm not wagering on it. I'm just throwing that out there that, like, you know, division winner with 9 wins, and maybe they get lucky and get to a 10th win at some point in the season. Like, it's not inconceivable that in this division, with how bad the division is, that someone just has a couple lucky wins and gets that 9 or 10th win.
I want to put your Kansas City Chiefs expert hat on right now. You were all over that game last week. You said that they always seem to have this game where you look up and you're in the fourth quarter and you're like, how is this like 20-14 with like 6 minutes? And they pulled it out. Now you're going to Minnesota, who Sammy talked about how bad the Vikings are. Sorry, Will. And now you're only laying 4, opened at 6, down to 4 on the road. Like, That might be now a reaching a playable point to lay the points with the Chiefs. You wouldn't think that they're going to put together another subpar offensive effort like that. But that's my question. I took a long way of getting there. Like, what real concerns are there with this offense? Because the defense looks really good, but they just seem to be missing something at the wide receiver position right now.
So, weirdly, I don't think I ever said this. I think they miss Juju. Like, they miss that intermediate wide receiver. Like, they have, obviously, MVS, who's supposedly the deep guy, who, again, doesn't catch the ball a lot. And then they have Travis Kelce, obviously, who's sort of the do-all. And they're missing that middle-of-the-field guy from Mahomes to throw to. It was, I guess, supposed to be Sky Moore. Maybe it's supposed to be Tony. Maybe it's supposed to be Rice. Ross is not really that guy. I know Chiefs fans want Ross to play. But they're sort of missing that middle-of-the-field option, short intermediate for Mahomes, but they're going to be fine. The Chiefs game was so predictable. They get up big. They sort of just like stop trying very hard. Mahomes throws 2 terrible interceptions. And then of course the referees who are paid to have the Chiefs win every game, help them out at the end. So
I'm glad you finally admitted it.
Yeah. I finally admitted that one. Yep. The NFL is paying for the Chiefs. Yep. And so I don't know. I think it's at 4 now.
Yeah.
People bet. Oh geez. They're going to win this game by more than 4, right?
I would think so.
I mean,
so.
They played terrible in New York and won by 3. I mean, they should have won by 10. Mahomes slid at the very end. A smart play by him. But, like, they had a chance to win that game by – they played a terrible game and should have won by 10 in New York.
Will and Sammy, you guys firing in now on the Zach Wilson comeback player of the year tickets after that performance on Sunday night?
No, DeMar Hamlin already won that.
Yeah, exactly. Step foot on the field.
I think it was predictable. Thing. No, it was predictable him playing well with Melissa Stark in the building.
Is there a fade opportunity this weekend for them in Denver?
Absolutely.
The Zach Wilson thing is great, but it was like a 17-minute, 18-minute stretch where he played really well. They hit a bunch of shots against man coverage. Like, that was it. Like, that was the end of it. And, you know, everyone talks about the officiating, blah, blah, blah. It's so lazy and lame to blame officials for wins and losses. Zach Wilson dropped a shotgun snap. That's why they lost the game. He just flat out dropped a snap and that cost him 3 points. Like, that's the reason they lost. It's not because of the officials. And now he goes on the road. And Denver's defense is atrocious. I get that. But are we expecting back-to-back weeks of Zach Wilson being serviceable?
And people who want to harp on that officiating call, the Sauce Gardner holding, like the play earlier in the game where They flagged Naughty for a horse collar.
That was bad.
It wasn't a horse collar. And Breece Hall, I was grabbing him by the face mask. Yes. And somehow that was a penalty. Like,
Well, it's amazing. Only penalties that happen at the end of games mattered. You didn't know that? Like, this only ones that mattered.
I did not know that.
Only ones that happened in the last 2 minutes when we slow down the cameras and we slow-mo, and we show every replay possible, then we get the Terry McCauley to talk about. Like, those are the ones that matter. Nothing happens early in the game matters at all. Just the ones at the very end are the only ones we talk about at all times on social media.
Sammy, you going to hop on the Sean Payton train with me this week and lay the 1.5?
Hell no. Are you out of your mind? Let's go to a different game quickly. If I would have told the group chat that on October 8th, the Cincinnati Bengals will be laying 2.5 against Arizona on the road, how much money would we have collectively bet? I mean, I get it. This podcast has done a great job of chronicling Cincinnati's weaknesses. Will has been all over this Bengals short all year, and it doesn't look like they're going to make the playoffs. But are we really not going to lay 2.5 with the Bengals this weekend?
I laid 3 already. I'd like to take the cancel wager option and find 2.5 and go to that 2.5 and lay that instead.
Arizona's been the better team, though. They really have.
Here's a question, though. Can the Cardinals rush the passer in a way that affects Joe Burrow? And the answer, I think, is no, right? Like the Bengals' problem is that Joe Burrow is sitting back in the pocket and sort of getting hammered by pass rushers that can affect him. Like, that's not the Cardinals do, right? Like can they affect Joe Burrow and make him play a game he doesn't want to play on that bum leg? I think the answer is no. Like, the answer is they can do that. I'm kind of with Sammy here about, like, the Bengals are, I know they're not playing as well, and Will's correct on that, but Arizona can't do the things that have bothered Joe Burrow so far this season.
Yeah.
Are you betting it there? Are you laying 145 money line? What are you doing?
I laid 3 with the Bengals already. So I was not expecting to get 2.5.
The money line's coming down too, man. It's like 145 on the money line.
Wow. Perfect. That's even better. I get it with the Cardinals, but at the same time, if you want to shoot holes in their season, you had the Washington doing all that they could to keep them in the game week 1. You had the Giants, who are one of the worst teams in the league. You had Dallas without a couple of their starting offensive linemen, and Dak pulled Dak, and somehow they had the massive red zone struggles. And then last week, 49ers got up big with the massive game this week. So maybe a look. I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out there to maybe justify why I bet Cincinnati, but I do think the Bengals are the right side here. Hopefully that's the great thing. Either I'm going to be right or Will be right, so we can promote that we gave out a winner on this game on the pod next week. I'm just looking down the slate here for anything else. Go.
I will just play devil's advocate. As somebody who has Arizona under 5.5, under 4.5, and under 3.5, like, I'm worried I'm going to lose all those. They terrify me. Even last week, like, all right, San Fran gets up big. They're down 5 with a 2-point conversion to cut it to 3. They just never stop playing. Yeah. Dobbs, look, I mean, Dobbs, it's amazing. Zach Wilson goes second in the draft. Dobbs is off the scrap heap. Dobbs looks like a legitimate player. You know, they've gotten something out of these draft picks. They're terrifying to bet against. They should really be 4-0 against the spread. They dropped a touchdown in the end zone last week, Ertz, and then I forget who else dropped a second one. So they're feisty. They've been okay. I've been wrong. Everybody's been wrong. Everyone's like, oh, this is going to be the worst team. They're going to win 1, maybe 2 games. They've been okay.
Yep.
Which double-digit dog would you take the points with? The Giants at the Dolphins or the Panthers at the Lions?
Panthers.
Panthers?
Detroit Lane 10 just doesn't sit right with me.
No, not the fighting Dan Campbells? No, 10's not. The Panthers, I think, are really bad.
Is there a third option?
Like, they've been... you've one of those two. Those are 2 double digits so far.
Hey,
I was just 10.5 next Thursday against Kansas City. You could take Denver next Thursday plus 10.5.
I was just getting
They're in Kansas City for that, or that's in Denver.
Arrowhead.
I was just gonna say, you know, we were talking on the college pod yesterday about how we were able to bet Miami to reach the college football playoff here in New York. I wanted to pull up the, I guess in New York, you can't bet NFL awards, because I'm looking for the awards tab here and I don't see it. So I was going to ask, like, are we in a position now where you could just get your arbitrage calculator out and bet Jalen Daniels, Network College, Kansas, sorry. Will Sammy break my injury? Could we bet Jalen Carter and Devon Witherspoon and just arbitrage it out, and you're guaranteeing yourself a problem, especially with Christian Gonzalez out now for the year? Like, isn't it either the defensive rookie of the year? It's going to be Carter or Witherspoon, right?
I'm looking at the odds right now. Carter's
more visible.
Carter's -115, Witherspoon -175 at DraftKings. I'm sure you know you got different numbers at different shops, obviously. But if you could get them both at plus money, I don't hate that idea. And then just for context purposes, Bear, after Carter and Witherspoon at -110 and +75, Brian Branch, Will Anderson 9-1, and then the next guy 30-1.
No.
Yeah.
Still a lot of time left, Brian though. Branch still a long season.
There is. There is. Voice of reason, Will Hill. I like that.
Yeah, that's only if injuries happen, right? I mean, that's the long, which happened to Gonzalez, obviously. But Witherspoon is the more visible position, right? Like, he's the guy we see making plays. We don't see Carter making plays. Carter's not a sack guy. Like, I don't know if a rookie of the year is going to be because they have a bunch of tackles for losses and their run stuff rate is really high on PFF. Like, to me, it's Witherspoon or nothing, right? I mean, I guess your point, you could both bet it back and forth, but Carter, I mean, what does he have to do? He's got to get more sacks, right? Like, Witherspoon, we see him intercepting the ball. We see him making tackles down the box. I think it's hard for Carter to win this award.
Sammy, Will, before we let you go, anything, any game or bet or anything we didn't cover here? I know we didn't hit on every game, a couple of games we didn't touch on, but Will, I'll let you go first. Anything out there that you want to share with the people?
No, I think we pretty much covered it. It's amazing how fast the season goes by. We wait so long all spring, all summer for this season to get here, and you look up and it's week five. It's like, man, you blink and the season's like a quarter of the way over. So it just goes by quick. So got to enjoy it.
It's so funny because before like you said, it goes by so quick. I was kind of joking with you the other day. Like, all week long, I look forward so much to Sunday getting here, NFL, just settle in, watch the games. And then by the end of the day, I am so happy the games are over because I just can't handle the swings and the call. I have the call. They're down 23-0. I'm MFing them up and down and living in there in the game. And it's just, you talk about a complete emotional roller coaster, NFL Sunday. So it's the swings are incredible. Sammy, anything? Sorry to interrupt you there, but anything for the people?
No worries. It's your show. You can do whatever you want. I did trash the Pats earlier, but I would probably lay one at home with them. You know, it's one thing to lose to Dak Prescott and Jalen Hurts, but when you start losing a banged up Derek Carr with a shoulder issue or Jameis Winston, then it's really torpedo time here in New England. I think this is a good buy low on the Pats. I don't think they win 7 or 8 games, but I would certainly lay the penny before I would take it with the Saints. And let's also, I want to give a shout out to the crew here. I don't know if we all saw the YouTube short that they put out when Bear was making a live bet last week. Like, he's like licking his lips. Like, we're all talking about something and Bear's not even listening. He's just firing
it. I was going to say, that was the Bears under 5.5. I was licking my lips. I had little honey jar here with the Bear and just betting against the Bears. It was a perfect opportunity. I was
so good. So, no, you were not listening. We were watching you on the ISO cam, not listening.
I have this thing in my ear that allows me to listen. I can multitask. That was like yesterday on the Zoom call to pre-prod. I had a cat to my right who was just begging for attention. So I'm like literally like this the entire time, like leaning over. And
well, you're also watching a soccer match and making
sure. I was. We survived the double down on Feyenoord's team total going under. It was not a very Atletico Madrid performance for the first 45 minutes.
Of course, it wasn't.
But we got there.
Sammy brought up next Thursday night, and we won't have a chance to talk about this. Obviously, the way we recorded. My favorite NFL stat is the Broncos have more recently won a Super Bowl than have beaten the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow. Just had to get that out there.
Yeah, I want to make sure Broncos have to understand that. Yeah, they have not beaten the Chiefs since the middle of 2015 in the regular season, and they won a Super
that
Bowl.
That is a hell of a stat.
The Chiefs own them. So if it's like a survivor pick, I don't know if you have Kansas City still left, like the Chiefs are going to beat the Broncos again, and it's funny to laugh at the Broncos fans who get really upset by the Chiefs beating them all the time.
It's funny, top of my head, I think those games are close, right? A lot of those games have been close. Denver's been competitive with them. Fangio has been able to, you know, do a decent job against Mahomes. But, yeah, they never beat him. That's amazing.
Yeah, but they just don't score. Like they don't score. Right. It's Drew Lock. It's a bunch of Drew Locks and like just the quarterbacks aren't healthy and it's just they just
Osweiler. Yeah, just
yeah that, Osweiler. Yeah, the Brock Lobster. Yeah.
Is it a rivalry game though? That's an inside joke for Will.
Well, Frank Clark is there now, and Frank Clark said no. He said you have to win it for there to be a rivalry. I'm with him.
That's right.
But you're right. We did that game. I was at that game a couple of years ago on the final week of the NFL season, where the Chiefs needed the win for the home field, and it was a close game. Denver hung around. That Sammy, New Orleans just absolute biggest frauds in the league. I mean, like every year, like we think this team is like, oh, they got all these weapons on offense and Derek Carr and
someone has to win the NFC South, guys. We've called the Falcons, the Bucks, and the Saints frauds today. One of them is going to be a playoff team,
right? And host, right?
They didn't, yes, they're going to host a playoff game. They're like the Cowboys or Eagles are going to an NFC South team in wildcard weekend.
That'll work out just as well for the NFC South team as it did last year. All right. Hopefully this week we'll have fewer emotional swings. Hopefully we'll be able to get through it. Hopefully it'll be profitable. Until next time, Sammy, Will, Jeff, be well.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Sammy P's number on the Ravens there that we were just talking about, kind of surprising.
Fifth tied with the Eagles, they said, right?
But they just find ways to win. I mean, yeah, they did lose to the Colts, but
There's a thing about watching them play where like it never looks easy, right? Like it's
a great way of putting it.
Like they won pretty easily against the Browns. Obviously with the Stefanski decided that he was going to make DTR into an air raid offense for some reason, throw the ball 1,000 times. But like it never, when you watch them play, I never think to myself afterwards, man, that was just an easy old win there. Yep. It just always feels like a grind for every Baltimore game. And they're a good spot to be in. Let's recap your wagers here before we get to, the survivor pick here. You have the Colts plus 2.5. You have Jacksonville plus 5.5. And the Bengals minus 2.5. You feel good. I like those.
I feel good.
I like those.
I feel good. Yeah. Hopefully that's a 3-0 right there. And hopefully we make it a 4-0 with the best bet later in the show.
Let's get the survivor, buddy.
Well, last week there was very little carnage in Survivor last week. All those big favorites did wind up winning. Those of you that rolled the dice with the Vikings, congratulations. You survived. Those of us who, like yourself, who went with the Jaguars, that was a kind of another one. It didn't look easy, but you never really felt like Arizona was, Atlanta rather,
stinks.
Was in the game. Yeah. And again, here we are. Atlanta's favorite against Houston this week.
Oh, Houston's playing good football.
They are. Yeah. But again, this is one of those because of the NFL type of games where you could see Atlanta maybe winning against Houston coming off the big win at home.
Yeah, I'm not betting on Atlanta.
Yeah, Survivor this week, it looks kind of straightforward. Like, I don't think there's really one of those like really risky type trendy picks that people are going to be on that could wind up just knocking a whole bunch. Like if there was one, maybe it would be the Eagles, but I really don't know why you would take the Eagles laying 4 in or just to win the game outright against the Rams. Like that's not a play that I think people would make.
I mean, I think it would be the Panthers beating the Lions would be the play that ruins everyone's weekend.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think the Lions are the Panthers are probably the worst team in the league.
They're bad.
And I think the Lions are, again, obviously check your survivor rules because some pool, the big circle one, obviously Thanksgiving Day is its own entity and you'll need to save a team or teams for Thanksgiving to give yourself options. But if you're in one where you're just picking a game a week and Thanksgiving is part of
what I'm doing,
Sunday game,
I mean, Lions is a good way to.
I don't know if I'd lay 9.5 or 10 with the Lions, but I don't think the Lions will lose to we'll lose at home to
could you do Miami this weekend?
I think Miami still has some future value. You obviously you got a couple of games against the Jets, and you got some other games later where they have value. But like, I get the Lions. You still have a couple of games with the Bears, but there are other. I went through the grid, and there were other options that week that are fine. But Lions would be my top pick, and if you want the old risk reward, take a chance. Denver, it's Denver. We got beat by Denver against Washington in a game that Washington trailed 21-3 and Denver blew it. But again, it's hard to trust them, but I think it's an opportunity where people kind of are high on the Jets now because Zach Wilson had an okay game against the Chiefs and the Jets look so better.
2 weeks in a row. It's not going to happen.
And yeah, that's the thing. So I think if you are in a bigger pool, where maybe you're going to need some variance and you maybe want to save some of the better teams for later on to give yourself a little bit of a game theory type of edge, might want to consider the Broncos this week.
All right, Bear, let's get to your best bet of the weekend. Let's make ourselves some money this weekend.
Why would I have, after just discussing survivor options and having the Broncos as the risk-reward pick, why wouldn't I have the Broncos laying 1.5 as my best bet this week? Just put myself through like 3 hours of absolute agony backing a team with a washed-up quarterback and a head coach who makes some interesting decisions from time to time, but look, this is more of a play against the Jets here. As I was getting into, we're not going to get that same okay Zach Wilson that we got on Sunday night.
Agreed.
Traveling cross country to Denver, the Jets did beat them last year there, but I think this is a little bit of a different situation. I think Denver is going to be a little healthier this week. And I'll bet against the Jets here, and I'll lay the points with Denver.
I think there's a thought that the Broncos win last weekend sort of gave them a little bit of life, right? They come back, and you feel kind of better about where you are. Their defense is still suspect, but you're playing Zach Wilson, who has not shown the ability to have back-to-back games like he did, and even against Kansas City, he was good for two quarters, right? It wasn't in the first quarter, and then he dropped a shotgun like that's Zach Wilson, right? And so they're on the road. I'm with you here. The Broncos feeling good about themselves after a win. All right, my best bet here is Pittsburgh +4 at home against the Ravens. Mike Tomlin as a home underdog in the regular season is 6-2 against the spread. It's a great spot for Tomlin. +4 of the last 5 games in this rivalry have been 3 points or less. Like, it's a good spot. I know Kenny Pickett might not play. It might be a good thing. Like Mitch Trubisky running around making plays. But again, these games are low scoring. The under's a good spot here as well. They're low scoring. They're physical. They know each other well. They bring out the best in each other because Pittsburgh's offense has not been very good. But I think you play Ravens team and you just, the best just comes out of these teams. And I feel this game's going to be right at 3 points spot, probably under as well. I like the 4 points, man. This game opened at, I think, 1, like Pittsburgh favored by 1, and then they're moved all the way to 4.
I see an open Baltimore -2. Yeah. Now it's up to 4.
It's even
4.5 at Circa.
4.5 at Circa. Well, yeah. I guess we could change the graphic, but Pittsburgh here +4. But
that's the great thing about it. I mean, numbers like changing throughout.
It changes as we go through. I just have Pittsburgh +4 here. I like backing Tomlin as a home dog. It's one of my favorite things to do. And when you don't believe in Pittsburgh, when you believe in Baltimore, it's a 3-point game, and we know this can be 2017. Like, we know what this is going to be.
It's what you were just talking about. How it never looks like fun or easy with the Ravens. It's always something.
They have a lot of injuries still.
No, they do. That's what made me kind of surprised that Sammy had them rated so high. It kind of what the ceiling might be if they are able to get healthy at some point.
Well, I mean, yeah, it'd be even better in a tough AFC. Before we get out of here, guys, I want to remind you about Fox Super 6. It's not too late to play the free Fox Super 6 game for week 5. Just download the Fox Sports app right now and make your picks for a chance to win your share of $10,000 in weekly cash prizes. Free to play.
Free to play and free to read on foxsports.com. I'll have my Super 6 column up there. Well, I'll kind of handicap and break down the categories for you to
I love it.
Take
my favorite thing all week.
Take under advisement. It's cool because it kind of, I don't play fantasy sports anymore. I just don't have the time, but it kind of gives you a little bit like a fantasy flashback combined with the wagering aspect. So
love it.
A little bit of something for everybody.
Yeah, there we go.
Is that it? We're done again?
I mean, that's it, buddy.
Another
it's up
one,
to you. It's your show.
Another one flew through.
I know. You believe it? week six in college football, week five in the NFL already. It's crazy.
October's here. Before we know it, November will be here. It'll be playoff scenarios will be coming out. It will be interesting. So that was fun. Group chat, always fun. Kicking it around with the guys. Always fun to hear you vent and rant about the Chiefs.
It's not the Chiefs. It's just, it's complaining about officiating. Enough of it. Enough.
I'm with them about the Lane Johnson, Trent Williams kind of.
They over officiated Juwan Taylor afterwards. Like, come on, officials.
Well, see, here's the thing. Is it the prejudice against the Chiefs now with Juwan Taylor or.
Oh, yeah.
Which way, or the Chiefs got now. Maybe that's why they called the penalty on Sauce, because they needed to throw one in there to make it look like they actually aren't against the Chiefs.
Do you ever notice how the best teams in sports always get accused of getting all the calls? And you wonder why, because they're the ones that overcome all this, right? They're like the Chiefs, you know, the safety of the ship and the safety, the horse collar, and they decide, screw it, we'll win anyways.
Bad call. So, yeah, exactly.
It happens.
Get over it.
It's football. It's life. You get bad calls all the time. Make it happen.
Well, we made it happen here. Hopefully we can make a winning week happen for Sammy P, for Will Hill on the Gambling Group Thread, for Jeff. I am the Bear. Appreciate you listening to the Bear Bets Podcast. Make sure you subscribe, rate, review, download. Check us out on YouTube if you want to see all of our animated facial expressions while we record this thing as well. And most importantly, remember, the less you bet, the more you lose when you win.